It's good to see everybody today. Hope you've all had a good week. We've got several visiting with us today. We've got two of our former members here from foreign countries are here, one from Oklahoma and one from San Antonio. We're glad to have them here. Also, we've got several visitors as well. We're delighted that you could come and be with us today. It has been kind of a difficult week for a lot of people in this area. I think most of y'all are aware of what happened at the Church of Christ down towards Dallas, but that was where Amanda and Austin worshiped for, I think, a number of years. And so, as a matter of fact, I think Zach and Kyla were about 15 minutes away visiting another congregation last week. And so it was kind of an awakening thing. It kind of catches our attention. We don't always understand why certain things happen. All you can say is that there's evil in the world. We've all done evil. We've all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But sometimes the sin has greater consequences, and it certainly did last week. And we certainly want to be praying for those. I think one of the gentlemen that passed was a good friend of Austin's. Maybe both of them. It kind of hits closer to home, and it does make us appreciate. We've got I think about half a dozen men who very quietly kind of watch over us. They act as ushers, certainly helping people come into the building and make sure that if they have any questions that they're answered. But they're also alert to things like that, and we do want to pass our thanks on to those men who have been so willing to do that. The passage that Grayson just read from Philippians chapter 3 reminds us of something that I believe is really critical. I always like the first part of the year. I've always been a fan of new starts. Sometimes I'll just start my year in the middle of the year because I'm kind of tired of the old one, and I'll just get going again. But there's something to this. Paul's been talking about the fact that he's looking forward to being saved. He's looking forward to the resurrection. He's looking forward to being in heaven for all eternity. But he's really quick to say, it's not that I've already achieved all that. He was confident that if he died that moment, he would go to heaven. It's not that, but he realizes that he could fall from grace. Over and over within Scripture, we're told that we're not quite there yet, that we still need to be faithful unto death. And so Paul points that out. I don't consider to have taken hold of it yet. But the thing that I wanted to point out this morning that may be more applicable on the first day or the first worship of the year than it is at other times is what he said when he said, one thing I do, I forget what's behind, and I press on to the goal. If you're like me, you probably made a lot of mistakes last year. If you're like me, you probably made a lot of mistakes in your life. Some of those mistakes have been sinful. If you could go back and redo and not do some of those things, you would surely do it. But you can't. You're just kind of stuck with what you have done and some of the consequences. And yet, the point in Christ is always this. When you're a Christian, you always have the same amount of time left that everybody else does. Eternity. Your physical life may be waning, but again, that was something Paul looked forward to. Paul was not whining about the fact that his physical life might be coming to an end. He was looking forward to the cares of this world being over, but he was also very conscious of the fact that he could help a lot of people while he lived, and he was going to do that. But the mistakes he had made, he just said, I'm forgetting what lies behind, and now I'm pressing on to the goal to which Christ has called me, or to which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And so wherever you find yourself today, isn't that a great starting point? The question is, how do we do it? And that's what I really want to talk about today is we have a lot of opinions. Men are really good at giving their opinions. We're also really good at overruling God's word with our opinions. We'll see this command here or that command there, and we'll start off our conclusion with, well, I think, or I don't see anything wrong with, or whatever it is, and then we go on to contradict God's word. And we always pay a penalty for that when we contradict God's word. But we don't have to. We have a pattern, and it's that pattern I want to talk to you about today. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 13. As you're turning over there, think about the patterns we have in life. We call them different things: rules, laws, instructions, recipes, blueprints. We've all had different things. When I was growing up, I didn't have a lot of responsibilities, but one thing I had to do every day was make up my bed. And my mom had a pattern for that. You had the fitted sheet. You had the top sheet. You had a blanket, maybe more than one during the winter, maybe not one during the summer. You had the bedspread. You had a pillowcase on your pillow. When you made up your bed, it needed to be made up in that order. If I'd have ever thought, well, I'll just take everything, stuff it into the pillowcase, and I'll call it good, that wouldn't have met with Mom's satisfaction. I've told y'all before, I told my mom one time in my life, and my dad never, I don't have to if I don't want to. And that was true. Technically, I was correct. I didn't have to if I didn't want to, but Mom was really good at pointing out that she was the authority. Mom was not much of a talker, but I think that she could have been a motivational speaker because one instance, and I was motivated for the rest of my life to want to when the right authority gave me instruction. We don't always understand the instruction, but we understand the authority, do we not? We've all had moms and dads. We understand that. When I worked at Kentucky Fried Chicken, became a cook, the colonel had 11 herbs and spices. They were secret. We would get them in 25-pound bags of flour that were already mixed together. It was his pattern. If I ever decided, I think I'm going to throw in a few extra herbs and spices, or I think I'm going to pick all these little black things out, I'm not sure what they are, I think it was called pepper at the time, but I'm going to get rid of that, well, I would have lost my job. And I would have understood that because he was the authority. The company I worked for was the authority. They had the pattern. They were the ones that were paying, that were rewarding for an honest day's labor. But if you didn't give the honest day's labor, if you went outside the pattern, there was no pay. And there's no job. And I understood that. When I became a real estate appraiser and I would appraise a house off of blueprints, everybody that was looking at those blueprints understood if a loan was being made based on those blueprints, you better build the house according to those blueprints or get permission from the authority that was making the loan to go outside of those. Otherwise, you had to stick with it. If I'd have ever looked at the blueprints for a 1,000-square-foot home and appraised a 2,000-square-foot home, I wouldn't have ever worked for that lender again, and I could have gone to jail for fraud. But I understood that because there was a pattern, there was a blueprint. We all work with things like that all of our lives, and we see that there are proper authorities that have a right to give a proper pattern. Why is it when it comes to God's patterns, His pattern for salvation, His pattern for worship, His pattern for everyday life, that we are so quick to make adjustments to that and think that it's okay? 2 Timothy 1 verse 13, the Apostle Paul says this, "What you have heard from me, keep as the pattern of sound teaching, with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us." We've talked about how you get the Holy Spirit in the past. We won't talk about that again this morning at length. All we need to know is those who repent and are baptized not only have forgiveness of sins, but they receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But whatever that is, however God operates, we are to guard a good deposit. What's the deposit? It's His Word. He's given us a pattern. And it's not just to be maintained, it's to be guarded. Because this pattern is our pattern for eternity. And that was God's decision. In Philippians chapter 3, we looked at the verses preceding this, but let's look at verse 17 now. After telling us to forget what lies in the past and now start going forward, he says this in verse 17. "Join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you." Well, how important is this pattern? In verse 18, he says, "For as I have often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ." The context here indicates that those who go outside of the pattern are living as enemies of the cross of Christ. We so often think, if I just make a little adjustment here, it'll be okay, but it's not. Go back to what we started with. When I was making my bed up, I wasn't making my bed up for me, I was making it up for Mom. Otherwise, my bed would have never been made. When I was cooking chicken, I was making it for the people I worked for. Otherwise, I wouldn't have done that. But if I was, I might have made a little adjustment here or there. If I was making the chicken for me, it would have been okay. But since I wasn't, I couldn't go outside the pattern. I knew that. As a 17-year-old kid, I understood that. Why is it that we get to 27, 37, 57, 77, and we still fail to learn the lesson that God's pattern is His pattern? And those who go outside of the pattern aren't just maybe a little bit off. This says they're enemies of the cross. Why? Well, think about a surgeon. Think about something as simple as taking out tonsils. And think about what goes into that. You get prepped for surgery, then somebody puts you to sleep. Then the surgeon goes in and just snip, snip, gets rid of those tonsils. You come out of it, you don't eat corn nuts for a few days, and everything is okay. But suppose now this. He decides that he's going to deviate from the pattern. And so he's going to go ahead and give you a little snip, snip, get rid of those tonsils, and then he'll put you to sleep when you start screaming. How do you want to go to that surgeon? And the answer is no. He's going to hurt some, he's going to kill somebody. Spiritually, why can't we see that? God wants us to understand that the pattern is His. It's for our benefit, but it's His pattern. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 1. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you. The good news is God's pattern, by the way, which you received and on which you've taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you. Otherwise, you've believed in vain. Think about that for a moment. How serious is this pattern? It's got the power to save you. How about if I go outside of the pattern? This says you've believed in vain. The pattern is only, the reward for those with the pattern is only given to those who hold firmly to the pattern. By this gospel you're saved if you hold firmly to the word, otherwise you've believed in vain. And yet, isn't it interesting that we override that so many times? We look at it and say, I don't believe that. But then we try and worship God part ways, as if that would work. It doesn't work for any part of your physical life. Why would we think that God would accept what our moms wouldn't accept, what our bosses wouldn't accept, what the lenders wouldn't accept, or doctors? And I guess the only reason is because we're not sure He's telling the truth. Let me go back to I don't have to if I don't want to. You don't have to obey God's plan of salvation if you don't want to. But there's no salvation for those who don't. Adam and Eve didn't have to obey God when God said, you cannot eat from the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. They didn't have to obey that. They didn't have to if they didn't want to, and they didn't want to, and they didn't do it. But they lost the reward at that point. They were removed from the garden at that point. God gives us a freedom to choose. He certainly does, but He's never given us a freedom to choose wrong and still get the reward or still avoid the penalty. And by the way, may I say this, the God who gave His Son to die for our sins wants us to be saved. And He wants the pattern to be right. He made sure the pattern was right. What happens when we just go outside the pattern? Well, you don't have to wonder much. Look at Galatians chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 6. Talking about God's pattern and how serious it is. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Notice that as he starts off, he points out grace. He's not denying grace. He's reveling in grace. He glorified. We're really glad for grace, but grace isn't a license to sin. So many people say, well, I'm counting on God's grace, and then they go into sin. Well, grace is for those who are in the pattern, not for those who are outside of the pattern. Grace does allow us to have a chance to go by God's pattern, and we're grateful for that, forgetting what lies behind, pressing onto the goal. But grace doesn't allow us to change the pattern. And so look what he says. I'm astonished you're so quickly deserting the one who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let him be eternally condemned. Think about that for a moment. They've been given the pattern, and Paul says, even if one of we apostles changes it, we're to be eternally condemned. And he says this, even if an angel from heaven changes it, they're to be eternally condemned. There's several that have come through the years. What was it Muhammad said? Oh, an angel of God came to me, and he gave me a different pattern. People are scared to death to point out that if let's just say that an angel did come and speak to him. Even if an angel preaches a different gospel, he's to be eternally condemned. Now, one of the modern day Christian religions, Max brought it up this morning in class. The leader claimed that an angel came to him and spoke to him and gave him a different pattern. I don't believe that happened any more than I believe an angel spoke to Muhammad, but let's say they did. Even if they did, if they gave him a different gospel, they're to be eternally condemned. There's not two different patterns that are acceptable. And in case we think that he made a mistake, look at verse 9. How rarely do you see anything repeated in the Bible, but he repeats this because it's an important thought. As we've already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let him be eternally condemned. He wants us to know how serious it is. And again, it's not because God is cruel. God's not cruel. God gave us a second chance. The Apostle Paul, who said, I forget what lies behind, do you remember what Paul had been doing? Paul didn't believe in Jesus. And so those who did believe in Jesus, he had arrested if he could. He had them killed if he could. He tried to have them blaspheme and deny their belief in Christ if he could. And then he saw indisputable evidence that Jesus really was Jesus, that he really was the Son of God. And so he changed. So this murderer who was lost for all eternity was given the opportunity now to walk in the pattern. And he's happy for that. He's devoted the rest of his life to it. He's in prison when he writes that in Philippians, where he says, one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, I press on to the goal. That's the secret, isn't it? I don't know about you, but man, I look back at my life and I think there are so many things I have done. I just wonder why God let me go on. And yet he did. But he didn't let me go on so that I could go on in sin. He let me go on so I could repent. You remember what Paul did? Can you imagine what Paul's thoughts were? He's on his way to Damascus to have Christians arrested with the hope of putting him in prison, with the hope of killing him. And then Jesus appears to him in a vision. And he sees indisputable evidence that Jesus really is the Son of God. And then Jesus leaves him for 3 days. And he prays for 3 days. What do you think he was thinking? I don't know about you, but if I've been murdering Christians and I found out that Christ was really the Son of God, I would be thinking, I'm dead, I'm dead, I'm dead. And yet here Ananias comes to him. Not only does he restore his sight, because Christ struck him blind 3 days earlier, but Ananias then said, what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, wash your sins away. Can you imagine how happy Paul was at that time? You mean there's a way I can have my sins washed away? Get rid of my sins? And it was that simple? What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized. That had to have been great news. I cannot imagine Paul saying, oh, okay. If I have to, I'll do it. I imagine Paul rejoiced. You mean I really have a chance, though I've killed Christians, to be saved? How many times when we hear the pattern of God's salvation, you believe in Him, you confess that you believe that Jesus is the Lord, the Son of God, you repent of your sins, you be baptized to wash away those sins. How many times do we drag our feet? I kind of like some of my sins. I don't think I want to repent of all those. I don't see any reason to get dunked in water. It's not my pattern. And so they don't. Do you think they have a hope at salvation? When I was growing up, I got a quarter a week allowance if I did my chores. Can I tell you that I do not remember one time in my entire life not getting my allowance because I didn't do my chores? Because I liked my allowance. But I knew that if I didn't do them, I wouldn't get them. And I knew it was fair. I never questioned Mom and Dad's fairness. Not to their face, anyway. How often do people question God's fairness? I don't see why this should be sin. I don't see anything wrong with this. I'm going to do it. I don't see why I should have my sins washed away. I'd rather say a prayer and invite Jesus into my heart. You don't find it in here, but it sure is a popular teaching. And so people have decided they would add to the pattern. They would change the pattern. How well does that work? Well, turn over to Proverbs chapter 30. We're about to close, by the way. I see from my stopwatch that it's time for Rick to stop, but I've got two more passages and I'll close. Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 5 says this, "Every word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in Him. Do not add to His words, or He'll rebuke you and prove you a liar." In Revelation chapter 20, it tells us that all liars will be cast into the lake of fire. So we don't add to His word. We don't change the pattern. But if we can do that, if we can keep from doing that, then look what happens. We have both sides. This is the final passage. 2 John, starting in verse 9. Let me back up and start in verse 8. "Watch out that you don't lose what you've worked for, that you may be rewarded fully. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ does not have God." How serious is the pattern? If you run ahead and you don't continue in the pattern, you don't have God. But look at this. "Whoever continues in the teaching has both the Father and the Son." And then he says this, "If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, don't take him into your house or welcome him." There is no other teaching that's worth listening other than the pattern that God has for us. And if we'll obey the pattern, if we'll walk in the pattern, we have eternal life. We don't deserve it. It is awfully simple when you think about it compared to what we've done. But that is the agreement, the covenant that God has made, the offer. The question is, have we accepted it? If you haven't, will you accept it today? The invitation's open. If anybody's ready to become a Christian today, we'd love to help you with that. You might need the prayers of the congregation, but if you have any needs, won't you come forward and let them be known while we stand and sing?